permission. So
Let me in.
I decided not to do it, and I just decided, well, I just won't astral project today, and I went about my day. Well, right after that, like maybe the next day, Christina and I had demonic attacks like never before, and I mean, we were getting, and it was like that for a long, like for maybe a month. We actually had a roommate at the time who was a complete atheist. I never told her about any of this stuff that I was into. I never, every great once in a while, I'd, say, "Hey, have you ever read the Bible?" And she just wasn't into it. Like, so we never talked about anything spiritual. She's a complete atheist. It was these manifestations were getting so bad. She was seeing stuff, and she would actually tell me that she was seeing like glowing orbs in like from her room or from the living room that would like flash in and then zoom into me in Christina's room. Christina and I were getting we were both getting sleep paralysis, but we were seeing the same types of things, like the same entities. The entities that we were seeing, they weren't just shadow people like what I was used to, because before that, every time I would get sleep paralysis, if something appeared, it would be like what's called shadow people now. These
Right.
were way more solid, way more like realistic looking. It wasn't a shadow. It was like a physical, like almost alien-like. It was. I don't want to go as far as to say that it was an alien
These are the
because.
orbs you're talking about?
Well, there was the orb. This is different. She saw. I didn't see the orbs. That was the atheist roommate that saw the orbs. But what me and Christina saw was more like actual humanoid, like almost like. Oh, not. See, I don't want to say that it was like a gray alien or anything because it wasn't like
Was it
that.
like a glowing humanoid being?
They weren't
Because
glowing.
they've had sightings like that at Isetti Ranch.
Oh wow. Yeah, these weren't glowing. They were the only way I can describe it is to say kind of like the gray alien figure, but it wasn't like that. It was they like the skin. Okay, the one that I saw right on our bed, and Christina saw this too. She didn't tell me until the next day, and I realized it was the same thing I saw. It was like average height, like 5, 6 feet tall, gray skin, really spindly, like spindly arms and body, but its head, it didn't look like a typical gray. It almost looked more reptilian, the head, but it was still gray skin. There weren't scales or anything
So they
like
have
that.
smaller eyes.
The eyes were like ridiculously small,
Huh.
so that was one. But it had a really big mouth, like big mouth and teeth. The other one. This one was actually knocking stuff over in our room. Christina and I both woke up, and there was this little thing, like maybe about only that big, that tall. It was only a few inches tall, and I didn't get a real good look at it, just to see that it was kind of humanoid in shape, and again, it was really like thin and spindly, but it was jumping all over the room and knocking stuff over. And that, I have never been so scared because I didn't know what it. I never. I still don't really know what that was. I've had JC Johnson on my show before, and he talks about like the little people. That's like the
Yeah.
closest thing that I could think of what this might have been.
Well, there is a really small form of alien that some people call fireplugs.
Oh, I haven't heard about that.
Yeah, I mean, in my video on the Cumbergas UFO, remember there's a still picture where I show the third alien? And I blow it up. If you look down at the bottom of the frame, there is something else in that frame. I don't mention it because it would seem really kooky to people, but it's basically another little creature. That's really short.
Oh wow.
It
No, I
has a
missed that.
nose like a pig and two little eyes and a mouth. And you can clearly see that there's something there. But yeah, you can only go so far
Wow.
with some people with this kind of information.
Yeah, totally understandable. Wow. Yeah, I wonder if that was maybe the same thing. I didn't get a good look at this thing's face or anything. So I just all I could remember or that I really saw was just it was short like that and
Yeah.
seemed really
I
thin.
remember Howard Storm told us back when I was asking him about his experience when he said he was shown these different alien creatures. And what he described was really fascinating. Actually, it didn't surprise me that much. I figure that God gets really bored because he can do so much, so he makes all sorts of weird stuff. It's
Well, yeah,
like,
just read
I think
Ezekiel.
it's great. Yeah. So, anyway, he said, but there's all these other dimensions that he mentioned, and it's all sharing the same space we're in. And there's the very thin fabric between these dimensions.
Yeah.
There's so much space between atoms that they all are intersecting, and we don't know how many dimensions that there are.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I mean, we know there's at least 10. I think what's interesting, the Book of Enoch, that's where Enoch saw God, was on the 10th level.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like, okay,
Wow. There
was some, you know, Einsteinian research in this. I don't know. But anyway, this stuff is really fascinating. And I think more of it is going to continue to come out.
Yeah.
A lot of people were concerned that CERN was going to open up a portal and that they might actually be actively trying to do that.
But yeah, it's mind blowing. But yeah, so at that time, Christina, I mean, we have never been attacked like this before. There were times where we would hear it would sound like a bomb went off in our bathroom, and we'd go in there and nothing was moved. Like everything was totally fine. And this was every day. It got so bad that.
Did you hear voices or anything like that?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Because I know this woman in town who's a lovely lady, and she's a CEO of a film company,
mm-hmm.
and she's very smart. And she had a really beautiful house near Burbank, and her dog would act really strange, would just stare at the wall for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
She'd go to bed, and she would hear this voice, "Get out."
Oh, wow.
And this went on and on, and it freaked her out. So she moved out. She rented the house, and some other folks came in, and they left after a month. And they told her, "Did you know your house was haunted?" They wouldn't stay there any longer because they were getting the same kind of thing. So there could be, normally, from what I've heard, if it's doing that, there's really a lot of entities.
Yeah.
In that house.
Yeah, we got that.
That's one.
We got that sense too, and. I started to realize, and I still don't have any way that I would, like, know this. It was just more of a feeling or more of a – but I just got the sense that the entities that were attacking us were – it was that same group that I had talked to, and that they were upset that I didn't, you know, take them up on their –
latched onto you.
Yeah, yeah. And I felt like that was the reason that this was happening. It got so bad that my wife, my roommate, and her – son when he was there, we would all just sleep in the living room together and camp out on the floor at night because we couldn't. It was just so bad, and I had no idea what to do about it. And so that was when I finally prayed honestly and asked God to show me, you know, what do I do, because I'm ruining my life, I'm ruining my family's life, I'm
sure,
you know, I have no idea what to do. And it was like the next day, I had just happened to turn on the TV, and L.A. Marzulli was talking, and I never heard of him before.
Really?
Yeah, he was talking about one of the Watchers DVDs, but he was talking about alien implants, which at first that really struck with me, because I was like, oh, wow, there is an actual biblical, you know, answer for that question that I've had since I was a kid. But then he was also talking a little bit about, like, he had some background in New Age and a little bit about spiritual warfare and stuff like this.
Yeah,
and
he did.
Yeah, and it blew my mind. So, like, that when my wife got I had recorded it on the DVR, and when my wife got home, I said, you have to watch this. So we watched it together. It made us get in the Bible, like, for the first time ever, we were actually reading the Bible together, and we started at Genesis 6, and we neither of us had ever heard of any of this before. So eventually, I had ordered all the Watchers that were available at that time. I think there might have been three or four, and we watched them all. I had all of LA's discs, you know, like the lecture series, and I think he had one or two books out by that time. I think. Right before that happened, he was talking about releasing the Cosmic Chess Match. So it was around right. that time.
Yeah.
And so
around 2012 or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was like right before that. And I realized, like, this is the guy that I got to talk to, because the more that I was looking into this, two things were happening. One, I was feeling more and more compelled to write something myself, that's what I wanted to do with my life, which I always wondered, you know, what God had for me or what I was supposed to do with my life, and I didn't know. Sure. But I felt that, but also we were getting more and more spiritual attacks the more I was looking into this. So I emailed LA. I wasn't really expecting to get an answer because here's the guy that's on TV. You know, what luck am I going to have getting a hold of somebody like that? But he got back in touch with me right away. He actually let me call him on the phone. And I just had really just one question. You know, I said, when you started writing and researching this stuff, did you have an increase in spiritual attacks? Because it's happening to me, and, you know, I'm just now coming out of New Age. I just rededicated my life to Christ, and I have no idea what to do. So he gave me a crash course on spiritual warfare. It was just basically use the name of Jesus to get rid of this stuff in every single room, and then he told me about the spiritual portals that he said, you know, you probably have a lot of those open, so if you use the name of Jesus to close those, you know, it should stop. And that was something I'd never heard before. So I did.
He actually does something sometimes for people where he goes around and anoints the doorpost with oil.
Yeah, he suggested that we do that too, which
consecrates the house. I think that's kind of a nice thing.
Yeah, yeah. He suggested that we do that too, and we did. But the day that my wife and I went through this, I actually sent her out of the house because I didn't know what was going to happen and if it got bad or any. I didn't want her to be around. So she like went to the store or something, and the whole battle or whatever was really non-climactic to, you know, somebody that would be seeing it from the outside, I think, because it was just me with an open Bible, it going from room to room saying, you know, in the name of Jesus, you know, get out of here, you know, whatever I was saying at the time. And I didn't notice any pushback or I didn't notice anything. But after it was done, two things happened. One, there was a piece in the trailer that had never been there before. Part of what I think was happening too was there was actually 6 months before we moved in, there was a really horrific murder in that trailer. People can even look it up on YouTube. Well, I'd have to give the address to do that. I don't really want to do that, but yeah, there was a really, really horrific murder and rape that happened in that trailer. So that some of the mess that was left was still left when we bought it. And like the people that sold us the trailer park told us they would have it cleaned up before we moved in, which they didn't. So we had to clean it, which was traumatic.
There's a law in California, at least here, where if you sell a piece of property, you have to disclose whether someone died on the property or not.
Yeah, they did tell us, but at the time I was looking for, you know, some place. Me and Christina were about to get married, and I only had $500. That's what I had, and that was the only place I could afford. So yeah. I was like, well, it's this or we live in the van. So so I kind of had to, but. But yeah, they told us that they would. I mean, there wasn't like a dead body there or anything. It was just a lot of blood. They told us that they would clean it before we moved in, and they never did. By the time that we paid for it and signed the paperwork, then it was our responsibility, and they weren't, you know, obligated to.
They left it bloody. Then you had to clean up the mess.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was a fun day.
That's so rude.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. By the way, there was a guy murdered in the back room, but just clean up the blood.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. Why did you rent that place?
Well, yeah, at the time, because we bought it, but at the time they said, they were like, because if you buy it now, I was young and I didn't know what I was doing. They were just like, we'll clean it up. If you buy it now, we'll clean it up before you move in. We promise, you know, we'll take care of it.
And I
wasn't thinking like, oh, when I sign this and give them money, then it's mine and it's now become my problem and I have no basis to make them do anything. So that's exactly what happened. But it was bad. But we got it cleaned up and everything. But so that might have had something to do with all the demonic stuff. But anyway, so. So while I was going, like, you know, room to room and doing all this, I didn't feel any kind of spiritual pushback or anything. But yeah, once it was all over, there was a piece in the trailer that wasn't there before, and I noticed I felt so sick, like I felt like like just nauseous and tired, and like I felt like I had just run a marathon or something, and it was really weird because I didn't feel anything like that a couple seconds before. And I think what was, I mean, I can't say for sure. I actually had to call into work because I was feeling just so lousy, but I think what had happened, and I don't know for sure, this is just my theory. I mean, it could have been something else, but
sure.
I think what it was during the actual, like, me getting rid of these things, or I think Jesus or the Holy Spirit or however people want to look at it was there with me, fighting this thing with me, and I didn't see it, any of that, because, you know, I'm limited to 3D perception, and, you know, but once the battle was over, it was done, and I was kind of left with the physical repercussions or whatever, you know. I mean, I that's just kind of what it felt like. I can't say for sure it was anything like, I don't know, but after that, we didn't have any more problems. It just stopped. But the weird thing was, after we moved, we sold it like a year later, or maybe a couple of years later. We ended up selling it to this other couple, and I didn't really think anything about it. And so, you know, we moved, and I gave them our number in case they needed anything.
Yeah.
So we moved into an apartment, and it was maybe 3 or 4 days later, it was a woman and her boyfriend. The woman actually texted me and asked me if Christina and I ever had any paranormal problems in the trailer. And I thought, because I didn't say anything about any of that. I don't even think she knew that there, unless she looked it up herself, I didn't mention anything about the murder. Like, I didn't say anything about anything.
This is someone that you sold it to?
Yeah.
Afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. She texted me after, like 3 days after they moved in, mm-hmm. and we were already moved out. And she asked if we had any kind of, like, paranormal problems in there, and I was like, "Why?" Because I'm thinking that's weird. So I was like, "Why do you ask?" And she started describing some of the same things that Christina and I had dealt with. There were crashing sounds in the bathroom. She was hearing audible voices like outside in the middle of the day with nobody there. Her son was getting really scared, just like our daughter was, in the middle of the night and stuff. And so I was like, wow, well, I guess since we're gone, it started up again somehow. Maybe it just went dormant. I don't know how all that works, but it at least was a good witnessing opportunity. So I just laid it all out, and I told her everything that had happened. And I said, you know, if you want this stuff gone, the first step is to get saved and accept Jesus. And she seemed really receptive to it. And I said, you know, then you can cast this stuff out in the name of Jesus. Whether she has or not, I have no idea. After I laid all that out, I didn't, she seemed receptive to it, but she never contacted me again. So I don't know what to make of that.
That's interesting. Well, I know that Jesus talks about having more power through fasting and prayer for something like that.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't adhere to that anymore, but I think that's probably really good advice.
Oh, it is, yeah, and that can help with the. Sorry,
but these things are real. These so-called manifestations do happen to people. If people have horrendous situations that happen to them. We talked to a woman who had been at East Seti Ranch, where they're seeing all these UFOs and entities appearing before people and all that, and sometimes we learn that they follow people home.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they're in their bedroom once they get home again. That's why I've never really wanted to go there, just to film. As much as I'd like to film what's going on there, I don't know if I want to be that close to it. Just invite that,
yeah.
Because those things are real. And then there's also in Arizona, in Sedona.
Sedona, yeah.
There's a lot of people that have occurrences there, but yet. I've stayed overnight in Sedona with my friend Dan Gordon, who has a lovely home there. He's not into that at all, mm-hmm. and there was no problem. So I think a lot of the times these people are inviting that. They want to see the spiritual. They're hoping for something spiritual to happen. They don't have enough understanding to realize that inviting some of these things is not good, what they're opening their hearts up to. Like, I have friends that are into channeling.
Yeah.
And I've told them both. I said, look, don't you realize that these, what they're telling you is just to constantly keep you off center?
Yep.
You know, one of the guys I like very much that's into it is writing me saying there's his guides have told him that there's going to be a big earthquake on Thursday. Of course, it never happens. Mm-hmm. But he's completely distraught over it and has to go lay down. I mean, he's, you know, this is how they're keeping him off center all the time. And he's finally come to the conclusion that the Christian community may have an answer to some of the things that he's been dealing with. And it has nothing to do with religion. This is what people don't understand. When I read some of the really perverse writings in the comment section on YouTube, especially,
oh, yeah.
These people don't have a clue of what we're talking about. They look at it as all Bible-thumping nonsense when this stuff is real.
Yeah.
Which is why we're doing Watchers. And when you tell me things like this, I really get excited that you were affected by Watchers, which is a great thing.